comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on the planet, that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. Well, if you have been visiting our website within the past few hours, you've noticed two things. One, all of a sudden, if you have antivirus software installed, it was popping up a notice that there was some infection attacked or attached to our main page. And I have been furiously looking for that. It was this, and the second thing you've noticed is that there's no poll on the page now. The opinion poll is not there. That's where we got hit. Now, during the shows yesterday and a couple of the shows Thursday and Friday last week, we actually experienced, I commented on it, that I was watching things happen on the screen on the monitors that indicated to me there was something amiss, someone was messing with our program. And I don't know if that's related, but that has been fixed, and so has the infection on the main page. So we're okay for tonight. I don't know if the two things are related, but I suspect that they are. Not that one attack on the video caused the other thing on the website, but I suspect that they probably go back to the same people. Anyway, such is the life, such is our lot in life, because of the fact that, number one, we talk about things on this show that there are people that don't want us to talk about these things. Number two, it is the number one UFO paranormal talk show on planet Earth. Now, that's not just my opinion. You can go to Google, Yahoo, MSN, any of the major search engines, type in UFO talk show, and you'll see. We're number one on page one. And so that makes us a target for some of these gray matter challenged individuals. So the poll is gone for right now. I'll have to see if I can clean it up and get it reinstalled. We'll see. Have you subscribed to the K-Files e-zine? You need to do so if you haven't. It is our free weekly newsletter. It goes out each and every Friday night. We start sending it out. It takes us, used to take us all day Saturday and then into Sunday. But we have some different software now, and the software is making it faster. So we start sending it out on Friday night, and it gets to the end of the list, usually by Saturday afternoon. It's free to subscribe. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
right, folks, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And you're wondering why I held up my hand in a motion to wait just a moment. That is because I got busy scribbling notes here during the break and failed to reach over and turn the microphone back on. So I had to turn it on. There's a little bit of delay when it comes on. Okay. Now, a couple of quick things here, and then we're going to get into tonight's discussion. First of all, don't forget the Halloween party. Remember the Halloween party, all right? We're going to be having online a Halloween party. Now, there are a lot of things that are going on that Halloween party. First of all, it's on our private TV channel. You have to have a password to get in, and the way you get the password is you have to buy a ticket. Ticket's $5. Okay, now, an hour before the party starts at showtime. So whatever time it is right now, whatever time this show starts in your time zone, that's the time, all right, on October the 31st. That's the time for you to tune in for the party. But an hour before, we're going to present for you a classic horror movie. A scary movie, all right? So we're going to do that. And then after the party, it'll be just like, the schedule will be just like a show. There'll be no commercial breaks, but it'll be just like a show. It'll be for 2 hours. And then after that, we've got a lineup of some more scary old-time movies for you, all right? So we're going to let those run, and, you can... You can spend your Halloween night with some popcorn in front of the Kevin Smith Show private channel, and you will be able to enjoy some of the scary movies from the past. So that's one thing. Another thing, last week I talked about NASA's video feed on the LaCrosse mission going dead. And... I had several people that called in during the show and said, well, I don't know. I saw the video, and, it was right up till impact. And I was surprised about that because I had watched it. And I got some email about it. Well, I want to clarify. I did a little investigation because we can't all be right on that. And here's the deal. The deal is the video feed, apparently, to the cable channel that I was watching, that video feed, apparently, had difficulties. In other words, they had difficulty and were not able to present everything NASA was putting out. Now, some of you were at NASA's website watching, and you got to see it all the way up to the end. So, apparently, the deal is a problem with the video feed that they were getting from NASA. The feed was okay, but some problem with the cable folks. Nevertheless, you don't actually see the, at least I did not see, the main LaCrosse impactor impact. And so, it's still pretty curious as to what did they hit. And there was no plume that came up, and they were expecting a plume 6 miles high. And so that was kind of curious as well. Also, in clarification, I keep getting people sending me emails saying we don't have radar that can track anything over at the moon. And I keep saying, you think I'm making this up? The report, what you're saying may be true, but it is not me that needs to be corrected here. Your information may be exactly true, that we do not have radar that can track something at the moon, can't track a spacecraft around. You may be right, but I'm not the one that needs to be corrected. I am quoting the head of the Indian Space Agency, or at least the spokesman for the Indian Space Agency. My point is, he said that the Indian spacecraft disappeared off of radar. That's a quote. Here's the quote. It vanished from radar. All right, so you need to address your information to Mr. S. Satish at the ISRO. Or is that right? ISRO, Indian Space Research Organization. I've called into question the fact that that report appeared, and within about 24 hours, they took that paragraph out and substituted another one. They didn't say we misquoted him, and they didn't say he misspoke. They simply made the switch. And I said there's something up with that. Now, having said that, all that email that folks sent me caused me to go do some research. You can go do the research yourself, and you will find an article that is praising, it's from the UK, praising a Briton for his work with the with NASA during the Apollo program. He was the head of a team that designed, and I quote, the radar system for tracking the Apollo spacecraft. So you make of it what you will. I'm not making this stuff up. I have only quoted what has been published. And that's the deal. That's the whole deal. And it's nothing but the deal. Okay, now, let's get to what I want us to do tonight. NASA has a huge problem in front of them. The problem they have is their budget and their plans. Their budget does not appear to meet the demands of their plans. Their plans are to build this system called, I think it's called the Constellation System or the Orion System. Both names are used. And go to the moon. And then eventually on to Mars. There is a committee appointed by President Obama that has taken a look at this and said, number one, we don't have the money to do that. And number two, going to Mars is too dangerous. So the moon missions apparently are scrapped if the committee gets their way. And Mars is out of the question. However, NASA's continuing forward with the testing phases on, I mean, some of this equipment to go back to the moon has already been designed. Some of it's already been built. And so they're continuing forward with their testing phases. And plus, they have other missions where they are ostensibly looking for life. They say they've been looking for life for a long time out there in space. Now, we're not, NASA's not talking about finding extraterrestrial intelligent beings flying UFOs, although I have every reason to believe that they have found such things because they videotaped these UFOs on numerous occasions. And we have astronauts talking about them on the radio with mission control, saying things like, we still have the alien spacecraft under observance. And another astronaut that says we have a UFO. So, I mean, you know, I submit to you that the question about whether NASA knows about UFOs, that is a moot point. It's a moot question. It's dumb. Yes, they know. And are they covering up when they say they don't know? Well, yes, they are. The evidence is in on that. But that's not what this show's about. This show is about NASA's got a big, big, big problem. The problem they have is sort of like if you have a party, you plan this party, and we'll say it's a husband and wife planning the party. And the husband thinks, there's going to be probably 10 people at this party. So he goes out and he buys the provisions for 10 people at the party. And the wife helps him prepare all of these provisions. And they're expecting 10 people at the party. And 35 people show up. There's not enough food. There's not enough drink to go around. Well, that's kind of what NASA's got on their plate right now. And that is they have plans to do so many things that just aren't going to be possible with the budget. Now, you might ask yourself, well, now, wait a minute. Why did NASA plan all these things if they didn't have the money in their budget? Well, folks, you have to understand that a lot of this stuff was planned several years ago when our money actually had a little bit of value. It's been steadily falling and now nosediving in value. That means as the value goes down, the prices go up. You understand that, don't you? Look, this cup is worth X. Now, whatever the value of X is, it's worth X. All right, so this cup is worth X. And if you come to me with American dollars, I give you a price that I think equals X. And you can buy it. But if you come to me with euros, the numbers change. Because the value of their money is higher, the price for this cup, the equivalent price for X, goes down. I still get the same value when I sell the cup to you with dollars or to someone in the UK with you, well, someone in France with euros. Okay, you understand? So as the value of the dollar has taken a nosedive, the price tags on a lot of this stuff for missions has gone steadily upward. And so they, you know, it has outrun, actually, their budget. And they just don't have the money to do a lot of stuff. One of the things they are doing, though, and I mentioned it, is they say they're looking for life. And they say they're looking, you know, with urgency. I mean, they're putting experiments on spacecraft that are going to Mars looking for life. And if they run into life, they say they're actually going to tell us about it. Well, back in 1976, there was something called the Viking mission that landed on Mars. And one of the experiments, the experiment was done. And it scooped up a little bit of dirt and put this dirt into its onboard lab. And what it was going to do is expose it to heat and then test, sort of sniff the air that comes off of it and see if they get any signs of the types of gases you get when you have biological life. And it said yes. That experiment said yes. There's life. Well, there was a big hubbub in the newspapers, radio, and television about this. And within the next few hours, they said, well, we think that experiment might have been in error, so we're going to run another experiment. And they used another experiment package on the Viking that was not designed to do that. It was not designed to sniff for life. And guess what? It didn't find any signs of life. Because it was not designed to do that. So I think that experiment really did find that there is biological life in the dirt on Mars. But the question tonight is this, and I'm going to open the phones because I want us to help NASA out here tonight. And we're going to do that by giving some ideas. And they're listening, so there's no reason for us to not give them our best shot, our best ideas. They don't have enough money to go look for life everywhere. And so where should they go look for life? Should they go look for life on Mars? Should they look for life on Titan? You know, Titan's one of the moons of Saturn. Should they look for life on Venus or Europa? Now, let's say they only have, here's the problem. They've got enough money to go do one mission looking for life. Just one. So they don't have money to go do two. They can do one. So where should they go look for life? Should it be Mars, Titan, Venus, Europa, or somewhere else? And how should they look for life? What is it they should be looking for? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. So where should, never a straight answer, NASA, where should they look for life?
Yeah, now come on, be nice. Let's cut them some slack tonight. We're going to help them out. We're going to plan their mission for them.
Well, let's just hope that they do give some straight answers and not think. But the best place I say that they should look is a place where there's already been, where we've already identified that there are some artificial structures, and that one of those places would be Tithonia City.
I think on Mars.
On Mars, that is a very logical place to start, where there is already an artificial structure. As you know, we've discussed on the Kevin Smith Show before. I think that would be a very logical first spot, where there's obviously evidence of life.
Okay, now they had this experiment in 76, and they one of the things they discovered in 76 is that when you burn the dirt on Mars, you get lots of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Lots of oxygen. And it was rediscovered by the Phoenix lander, the polar lander that just finished its mission. It, through a series of different experiments, found high concentrations of oxygen in the dirt. And you remember that when we discussed this, I said they called it perchlorate, and I said you can't have perchlorate unless you have chlorine.
Yep.
And they didn't find chlorine. Hang on, we got a break. I want us to talk about that and life in just a moment. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are solving problems for NASA tonight. Kevin, I just set up the fact that there is oxygen in the dirt. So we have one of the components that NASA says you got to have for life. I don't believe you have to have oxygen in order to have life. You have to have oxygen in order for me to have life. But you don't. Other life could exist without it. There are life forms on this Earth that do exist without it. But you got oxygen. It's in the dirt. Lots of oxygen in the dirt. Another thing they say you need is water. And again, I don't think that's necessary. But we'll play the game. We'll say that oxygen and water are necessary. Do you think that there is enough moisture in the dirt on Mars for there to be microbial life living in the dirt?
Absolutely.
Why have they not made a big deal out of the moisture that's in the dirt? They say that water cannot exist on the surface of Mars.
Well, I think a part of that has to be that some of these quote-unquote scientists at NASA, I think some of them are, you know, they keep their head deliberately stuck you-know-where. And despite the fact you're showing the evidence right in their face that there's life, they just say, no, there just can't be life. We're scientists. We say there's no life. There's no evidence of it. Or that they just flat-out don't believe that there could be life anywhere else. And they keep their head stuck up you-know-where where the sun don't shine, and they just don't want to take it out no matter how much evidence you show them. And I think that is part of it, and I think and there are some people that are still looking, that are still going back to the old War of the Worlds explanation on why they shouldn't disclose any information on alien life, because they figured it would cause a panic religiously and all this stuff. So I think that's why they're not talking about it, or they wouldn't release any of that kind of information for various reasons.
All right, now here's a question, and I'll set it up this way. Regardless of what NASA says publicly, that they are still looking for evidence that there may be past life on Mars, they've already found that, and we've already seen it on NASA television. When the rovers got up there, one of the rovers found a fossilized, several fossilized little organisms that look exactly like organisms here on Earth, little sea creatures and sea plants. And so NASA sent the rover right on over to this little piece of fossil. And, I mean, my eyes can see it, your eyes can see it, everybody saw it, all God's children saw it, and they had the rover take out its grinder and grind that thing to dust, and then no more comment. So, you know, that's done. That's toast. Put a fork in it, it's done. There's past life on Mars. But what? Here's the question. Do you think there actually is currently life on Mars?
Well, if judging by the Phobos incident, this isn't really, I guess you'd say, recent, 20 years ago, but judging by the Phobos incident, I'd say yeah, there is.
Okay, fair enough. So you would tell NASA, go to Mars, look for life there. You've only got one mission, so go to, and what city did you say?
Tithonia City.
Tithonia, yeah, I've seen the pictures of that. Yeah, fascinating. So go to Tithonia City and look for life there. You've got one shot at it, and you think that's where they'll find life.
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Good enough. Thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, so what say you? The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or you can call me toll-free, and the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sir.
That's good. I don't know if this is out of genre, but I mentioned this to you before. Back in Clinton's era, the drug overlord, his budget was $500,000 more than NASA's. And if we can, throw that kind of money at the alleged war on drugs, being in law enforcement, and what a joke that is. I think that NASA would rate, quite a bit more money than that.
Oh, I agree with you, but we're dealing tonight with the realities that are on the table in front of them right now, and the reality is they don't have enough money. So the scenario is they get one shot at going to find life. Where should they go?
It's pretty obvious, from, It would have to be a toss-up between, I guess, the Moon and Mars. I think we have more proof. I've seen more proof on Mars than on the Moon. There's a big, I don't know where it's at, but there's been an observation of a really big hole in Mars where it goes, it's supposed to be really, really deep.
There are 10 of those.
10 of them?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that, you know, they went underground. You know, I don't know about these cities on top and whether they'll find life there or not. But my best guess would be to, you know, explore them and venture into them would be the best chance of finding life on Mars. That would be my guess.
Okay. And what kind of life do you think they will find there, Terry?
Oh, geez, God only knows. You know, would they be like us? You know, are they reptilian? Are they, you know?
But you think it would be intelligent beings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't honestly really say. You know, but I do believe that there is, you know, life there, and you know, and they've, you know, they're probably a lot more advanced than us. You know, they've been through a lot more than us. But it seems like they have a parallel existence like us because of the pyramids and Sphinx and things like that that appear to be. You know, like what we have here. So, you know, would they be really different than us? I don't know.
Okay, so if NASA's got, we'll just say they have enough money to do one mission to explore for life, and you think their best shot is to fly down one of those holes in Mars and see what's down there?
Yes. Yeah, I think that they're probably underground.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Take care, Bob.
All right. Well, so far, Mars is the place. You know, maybe you've got a different view. I was looking for my notepad, and here it is right in front of me. One of the places that I think would be interesting as well would be Titan. Now, Titan, they say, has an atmosphere heavy with methane. Okay. My theory about all of that is, if what the scientists tell us is true, and they say it as it's almost a mantra with them, they say life happens. Okay. If life happens, and if it's, you know, throughout the universe, life happens. That's what they say. They work on that assumption, especially the astrobiologists. If that's the case, then life arises based on whatever components are available where it is. The reason you and I breathe oxygen is because life happened here. And here is rich with oxygen. Oxygen is highly flammable. Oxygen is highly corrosive. It's one of the most corrosive elements in the periodic table. But you have to breathe it. So do I. Okay? Now, you can imagine sitting on some other planet, looking over at Earth, and wondering, I wonder if there's life over there. And some scientist on that other planet, in some other galaxy, looking through that, their version of a Hubble telescope, sees this little blue ball, and he says, no, there couldn't be life there, because our spectrogram readings show there's way too much oxygen. You know what oxygen does? Oxygen will kill you. All right, that's the kind of conversation scientists have here on this planet when they look at other planets. And they say, well, there couldn't be life over there. There's too much methane. But if life happens, then it will arise using whatever compounds and elements are there. So life here used these compounds and elements. Life there will use whatever is there. Life has to exist within the context of its own environment. So maybe I'm wrong about that, and I would like to hear from you if you think I'm wrong about that. If you think that life absolutely must require oxygen and water, then I'd like for you to call me and take me to school on that. I don't buy it. I don't think that's the case at all. That's generally true on this planet, but it's not 100% true. We have found life on this planet that will die when you expose it to oxygen. And so I think that life happens, and life will happen in the context of its locale. But I think Titan would be a great place. You remember seeing those pictures of Titan? Remember, it was the Cassini spacecraft, and on board the Cassini spacecraft going over to Saturn, there was a probe called the Huygens probe, and it deployed that probe and sent it over to Titan. And as it came into the Titan atmosphere, parachutes opened, and the thing descended to the surface, taking pictures all the way down. And even after it got down, it was still taking pictures for a while. In those pictures, you can see shorelines, lakes, what looks like an ocean, actually. Looks like a harbor. And the scientists say, well, that's probably all liquid methane. And it's very, very, very cold there. And so we don't think life could happen there. But, well, life like we have here on this planet, maybe not. But is there life based on that environment? We'll be back right after this. NASA needs your help, folks. Find your phone. To be NASA tonight. You get to plan the next mission to go look for life. You got one shot at it. Where do you go? How do you look? What are you looking for? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. I would do it a slightly different way. Let's go back in history and take a little bit of that technology. You have the remote viewers, what they can do. Now let's combine that with, can't remember his name, he's the plant guy with consciousness.
Dr. Gerald Epling.
Yeah. Now, train some people to be sensitive to consciousness and the various wavelengths and frequencies it presents in nature using Earth as a testing ground, so they can get used to, like, plants, bacteria, animal life, human thought, and then do a little remote viewing. If they can go out and find consciousness that way, they might be able to find the various frequencies on other planets, and if they can find human consciousness or that level of consciousness, they find life.
Well, there are some remote viewers that have taken a look at Mars and say there are living, intelligent beings there. There are some that say they are conscious, intelligent machines that are there. So they're already telling us, at least about Mars, that there's life there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a manned mission. Well, not necessarily manned, but a mission that at least carries a camera so we can all see it. and they're going to find life. So you could combine, I guess, what you're talking about with that mission, and if they say, okay, well, there's in that hole right there, there's intelligent life in there, then they could send a probe into that hole and see what they find.
Yeah, it's it would be hard to take the you would want, what you're looking for is hard physical evidence, or at least a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with the remote viewers and what they're doing, so they know about where to look.
Okay, so you would use the remote viewers to target the mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good idea. Now, where would you go? Would you go to Mars? Would you go to Europa? Yeah, by the way, some of the folks may not have heard when I announced the other day this report that came out. This is also not something I made up, okay? New research dealing with Europa has indicated that the liquid ocean under the layer of ice on Europa
is water.
Well, it is liquid water, and it has, the new research shows that it has a whole bunch of oxygen, lots of oxygen, in that water, and that it could support life similar to what we have in our oceans now here on this planet.
Well, if they only have one mission, I'd go with somewhere we know we can land. And that would be the moon or Mars. So I'd go probably with Mars.
Good enough.
That way they wouldn't have to recalculate all their instruments and all that stuff.
Well, they'd have to be sure, though, when they built this thing that's going to Mars for this mission that you're planning, they would have to be sure that whether they're using imperial or metric system, because you remember the one where they thought they were supposed to be using the imperial system, and they used that, and part of the thing was built with the imperial measurements and part with metric, and so it crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, but like I said, I use remote viewers to target it, and then go with somewhere they know they can land.
Fair enough. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. 623-444-5889. And toll free is 888-223-4599. Those numbers we are using as if they were the NASA helpline tonight. You get your opportunity to help NASA plan this mission. They don't have enough money. We've already been told they don't have enough money to go back to the moon. It's too dangerous to go to Mars with a manned mission. And so it's beginning to look like, if that committee has their way, it's beginning to look like NASA's pretty much out of the manned space business. So they've got, in the scenario that we're using, one shot, one mission to go find life, and it's got to work. And if they find it, of course, you know what would happen. If NASA finds evidence of life on another planet, money will flow into their budget. So this has got to be a home run here, okay? This, you got to score on this one. It's got to, you got to goal this one, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Aaron from San Antonio.
Aaron? You said Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Aaron, are you a first-time caller?
No.
Okay. Aaron, how would you help NASA out tonight? What would be your thoughts on this?
My best bet is, I think, would be Europa.
Okay. Why Europa?
Simply because, as we know it, to look for life needs water and oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
All these other scenarios, like the methane of Titan and all that, I don't know what we would be looking for, because it isn't life as we know it. For us to look as life as we know it, we would have to look for something similar to life as we know it here on Earth, to look for life that we don't know somewhere else that uses something like methane wouldn't be in our parameters, scientific parameters, I believe.
You know, there is, you're right. However, there's a group of scientists in Austria that have put together a research group, and they are specifically trying to think of how we could test for life that uses something other than water and oxygen. Did you know that?
No, sir.
Yep. The report on that came out about a week and a half ago, and a brand new group, research group, top scientists, trying to figure out how would you test for life that uses methane instead of oxygen, and or sulfuric acid instead of water. So they're looking into, you know, trying to figure out how to do that. But at the moment, you are correct. The scientific experiments that we would even know how to build would test for life as we know it. And so Europa's got water, lots of it, more than twice the amount of water that's in our oceans. And it's got a huge amount of oxygen in that water, so there's a possibility there could be life there. Sure could. Aaron, are you listening via computer, or are you listening to Dewberry Jam Radio down there in did you say you're in San Antonio?
I'm in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm listening via the webcast, the Justin TV.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right. Good point. Europa. Lots of water and lots of oxygen. They're admitting to both of those. And look, here's another thing. That brings up a question, doesn't it? They have admitted finding, you know, that there is water, that there's a huge ocean under the ice on Europa. It's liquid water. They're now saying that they've been able to determine it has a huge amount of oxygen. Here's a question. And this kind of falls over in NASA's favor as they tell us that there is no life on Mars, which I don't buy, but this kind of falls over their side of the fence. If they tell us that we have water and oxygen on Europa, why wouldn't they tell us if those things existed on Mars? Pretty good question. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599, and we'll continue with your calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are doing our best to help NASA get over their budget problem and get through their budget problem. You get to be NASA tonight. You be NASA. You've got one shot at going and finding life. That's all the money you've got in your budget. You can't do two missions. You can only do one. So where should you go, and how would you look for life? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan.
I think the search for life is almost, it's like a hunt. So there's, when you're hunting for deer in the woods, for instance, there's two ways. You can go looking for it, or you can call it to you. And I think one way would be to provoke it. So if we send more probes into more planets exploding, like nukes, then for sure that's going to provoke somebody to come here.
Yeah, but you've only got, in our scenario, you get one chance, one shot at it. So where would you go and try to provoke them?
Probably the moon.
Okay. Why on the moon?
Well, based on the Disclosure Project and what witnesses have said about bases existing on the far side, and that's probably what I would go first. Nice, cheap, and close.
Well, it is close. It only takes 3 days to get there with our old rocket technology that they're still using. Do you think that here's my question? Do you think that there is intelligent life living there?
I do. Logically, if I were part of an alien race visiting Earth, I would set up base on a satellite that was closest to where I was exploring and hidden from it at the same time. That's where I would go. And to me, the only place that fits that is either Venus, Mars, or the moon, but the moon is probably the best bet, or in the oceans of our planet.
Well, there's some evidence they may have some bases in the ocean. The USO, the Unidentified Submerged Objects, some evidence as far back as Christopher Columbus, and I think even before then, some ship's captains recorded seeing these disc-shaped things come out of the ocean, highly luminous, and fly off into the sky. And, of course, modern reports continue to talk about that. But you would go look at the moon. Where would you look? Would you look on the far side of the moon that we never get to see, or would you look on this side that we see?
Well, first of all, Kevin, I'm really intrigued by the idea that we only ever see one face of the moon, and I'm wondering if that's a pattern found in all natural satellites for other planets out there.
No, it's not.
Okay, so that points to the idea that we're either an anomaly, or else the moon has an artificial non-revolution to it. I mean, non-rotation to it.
Well, it actually does rotate, but it rotates at a precise pace so that it keeps the same face toward Earth at all times. If you take an object, I'll hold my cup up here. Okay, now, if you take a ball and let that represent the moon, and this cup represents the Earth, imagine that ball going around the Earth without rotating. One side of the Earth would always see what we call the backside that, and the other side of the Earth would always see what we call the front side of the moon. So it has to rotate to keep that face always facing the Earth.
Yeah, that was my mistake. I forgot about that. I do believe that the moon rotates, but I just find it very suspicious that we see one side all the time. To me, that just points to artificiality.
There are people who think the moon is artificial, and there are a lot of people who think that. There are some scientists with high credentials who have speculated as to whether it might be artificial. And there are very, very ancient documents that talk about a time when there was no moon, a time before the moon showed up in our sky. So maybe it is artificial. And, of course, Stefan, you're familiar probably with the fact that when they set up seismic instruments on the moon, during, I forget which Apollo mission, I think probably 16 or 17. Anyway, when they crashed the part of the Apollo back down onto the moon so that they could take seismic readings, they were astounded because they said it rang like a bell, in one case for 45 minutes and another case for over 3 hours. And the statement from NASA, from the scientist at NASA, said it was more as if it were hollow than a solid planet.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, if you were an alien race, why would you park way, way, way outside of the Earth? Why wouldn't you park right beside it and be hidden? Just makes sense.
So what do you think? Is it a Death Star?
Well, we're still alive, so if that's anything, it's probably another observation star.
Okay, good enough. So we've got two votes for Mars, one for Europa, and or was that three votes for Mars? I forget. Mars is ahead right now, and one vote for the moon. And okay, now how would you go about looking for life? You're NASA. You got to go to the moon. You got to look for life. How would you do it?
Well, for me, it would be just straight visual, but also infrared. I'd use the whole gamut of, and also what another caller had said regarding remote viewers.
Okay. Yep. Good enough. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Well, he brought up Venus. Now, that's one place that, you know, there was a time when all the stories about extraterrestrials, they were coming from Venus, and then it switched to Mars. You know, speculation about where they were coming from. And a lot of people have thought that Venus was probably populated, and some people say it is, and I've had guests right here on this show who tell me, have told me right here on the air that they have been to Venus. And they went to Venus for a meeting. Remember that? And then, you know, and I said, well, now, wait a minute. What about the temperature and what about the pressure of the gravity? And the answer was that you can enter at the poles. You can descend to Venus at the poles. And then everything is cool and they have a civilization there. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to Venus, but I have been told that right here on the air, that there is life on Venus. And I've heard from more than one guest that there is life on Venus. So what do you think? You get to tell NASA, you get to be NASA's mission planner here tonight, and you get to tell NASA this one mission that they've got one shot, one attempt to go find life. That's all they can afford. And you get to say where it's going to be, and you get to say how to look for it. Okay? You get to be the mission planner. 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, okay? Now, the flash message, the way you send it to me is you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. When you get there, scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. And as I say, you got to be outside the USA and you got to be outside of Canada. Why? Well, in the USA and Canada, you can call me for free. Either you have a calling plan where you can call me and it doesn't cost you anything, or if you don't, you can call my toll-free number and I pay for the call. So, but if you live, you know, somewhere else, you got to make that international long-distance call, and it's not free. That's why we have the flash messages for people outside the USA and outside of Canada. Here's one from Bob in Australia. And he says, I would send a probe to Planet X and find out once and for all if there is, number one, a planet, and number two, if there's life on it. Okay. Bob, I would think what you need to do is first determine for sure if there is a Planet X. Otherwise, you don't even know where to aim your rocket. Okay, so you need to find out for sure if it's out there. And where is it located? How fast is it moving? What's its, you know, if you're going to land on it, you can crash onto anything. But if you're going to land, you got to know things about its gravity and the density of its atmosphere, etc. And so, but I think, you know, if they find Planet X, and there are people who say that it has been found, but that's not the official version. So if they find it officially, then that might be okay. Okay? It just might be. Here's Patrick in Australia says, I think they should start in the Pacific Islands here on Earth, although NASA already has a history of cover-ups. They're leftovers from the, let's see, from the 60s. We didn't get to see Jeannie's belly button. Oh, I dream of Jeannie. And that's got to be one of the biggest cover-ups of all time. But she did kiss Buzz Aldrin on the cheek 2 weeks before he went to the moon. I'm not sure what that means. Thanks, Patrick. Stuart in Japan. Stuart says, here's where I think NASA needs to begin looking for intelligent life. More capable people in the press release department. The amount of times NASA has released an initial report then pulled that report out of circulation simply to replace it with some excuse or another is becoming a real joke. Well, they might actually not find intelligent life there, Stuart. Maybe that's where they need to recruit some intelligent life. I say it all the time. I say, look, you know, I understand the need for cover stories. Sometimes you need one. Well, get better script writers. At least tell us something that's something sort of plausible. All right. thanks, Stuart. All right, now, here's the deal again. The deal is you are the NASA mission planner. The committee has come to you and said, you don't have enough money. You can't do all this stuff. You just don't have enough money here. So you're the mission planner. You have to decide what missions are going to happen. You've been told by this committee that there's enough money to do one mission to go out there and see if there's life on another planet. You got one shot at it. Just one. Where would you decide to send that rocket? Now remember, it costs something like $50,000 or $60,000 to put 1 pound of something in space. It's very, very expensive. So you don't have a lot of money. You've got to be to use a word that was made famous by the first President Bush, you've got to be very prudent in your decision. You've got to make a good decision here. You've got enough money for one mission. Would you go to Mars? If so, where do you think they ought to look on Mars to find life? Not just evidence of past life, but life. Where would you look? Or would you go to Titan? Titan, I got a flash message here that says, where the heck is Europa? I've heard of it, but I can't think of where it is. Okay, well, Europa is one of the suggestions that we've heard here tonight as to where NASA ought to go look for life. And I can tell you that it is one of the moons of Jupiter, one of the many moons of Jupiter. Jupiter is virtually a solar system unto itself. It's got moons big enough to be planets. And so does Saturn. It's got moons big enough to be planets. Well, Europa is one of the moons of Jupiter, which is a giant of a planet. It's, of course, the most humongous thing that we call a planet in the solar system. And I still say Pluto is a planet. It doesn't matter really what the group of scientists vote on. It's there. It's a planet. Anyway, I don't think I would go look at Pluto. I really don't. It takes way too long to get over there. And, you know, and the place may be teeming with cities, but I doubt it. But Mars, Titan, Venus, Europa, these are high on the list of possibilities. As I said, there is a group of scientists over in Austria that are beginning to look at designing ways to test for life that's based on methane or sulfuric acid or something other than oxygen and water. So we may have some tests like that developed and workable in the near future. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mike from Mississippi.
Hi, Mike.
I just was thinking about how NASA is, you know, you're saying it takes $60,000, you know, per pound to put something out in space.
Mm-hmm.
I think NASA is probably recklessly, you know, spending money that they shouldn't be, because we seen in the news, it was probably a couple weeks ago, a bunch of kids had sent up a hot air balloon into space with a camera attached to it, you know, taking pictures of you know, out there in the space line, you know, like a good picture of Earth, you know, from the space. And that cost them probably about only like $60-$70 to put all that together. And if we was to leave it to NASA to do something like that, they would probably spend over $1 million to do that. So I mean, I think they overspend and they throw money around that, you know, is not needed, and they could put more money towards more space expeditions.
Well, I'm going to both agree with you and disagree a little bit. Let me explain. I agree with you that they probably are overspending and wasting some money. And I don't have any specifics. It's just that it's attached to the government, and the number one thing government does is waste money. I mean, we all know that. The government blows cash like there's no tomorrow. So I would agree that they're probably blowing a lot of money that they shouldn't. On the other hand, whenever you either put a man in space or you put these sensitive scientific instruments that are going to do these highly specialized tests looking for life, and you put those in space, first of all, it's heavy, and secondly, you've got to build things really, really, they've got to be able to withstand vibration, because the vibration at takeoff is just incredible. And then they've got to be able to withstand shock, and they've got to be able to withstand excessively cold temperatures of space. And so it's not the kind of equipment that you can go down to Walmart and buy. This stuff is built specifically for that mission, and it's built specifically for a space environment. And so it's excessively expensive to do that. And just to build a rocket that can get into space, that's not all that expensive. But to build these scientific experiments and package them in such a way that they can withstand the launch and the temperatures, and also have a system of solar power that can gather power to power the instruments and so forth, that's just really expensive. And so this is one of the reasons that I say I'm for NASA. I'm not for everything that they've done in the past, and I'm not for some of the things they're doing now. But I, as far as just the concept of NASA, having NASA, I'm for it. And I think we ought to double their budget, clean out all of the obfuscators, and then give them marching orders that say, you guys get on with this.
Well, I'm but, supposed to be, because I think it was during the Apollo missions when they, you know, I think their budget in today's, you know, in today's value, dollar value, they was getting probably about 10, 20 times more back then.
Well, yeah, you're right in buying power. You're right. Yeah. Our money is crashing. The value of the dollar is crashing. all around the world. And so, you know, we don't feel it so much here dealing with our own economy, our domestic economy. We feel it some, but not quite so much as you would if you were dealing internationally. And NASA has to deal internationally. You know, they have to buy things that are manufactured in other countries, a lot of things that are manufactured in other countries. And so the crashing value of the dollar has a huge effect on them, and it's been crashing since World War II. It's been sinking, you know. That's what we here, we call that inflation. We're talking about the prices are being inflated. Well, inflation is actually deflation of the value of the dollar. And so, yeah, it has hit them pretty hard. And but where would you go? What do you think?
Well, some people would say, you know, Titan or, you know, some, you know, pretty far out there. But I don't think by what we know that NASA has, they probably would not be able to put forth the technology to find life on Titan or... What was the runner planet that had the water?
Europa. It's a moon of Jupiter.
Because, I mean, it would have, you know, problems trying to find life, you know, because it just... I don't think their technology would be there by what we know that they got. So I would have to say, let's look at the moon and, you know, give it a second look and...
Do you think that there are any bacteria or microorganisms crawling around up on the moon?
I don't know. I mean, there could be anything up there. Like you said, you don't need oxygen to some life doesn't need oxygen, so there could be anything.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Very interesting. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back with more of Your Rescue of NASA right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, you get to be NASA. They've got a big problem, and it's not a joke. The big problem is that this presidential committee, took a look at the NASA budget, compared it to all of their plans and missions that are outlined, and they said, you don't have the money. You don't have enough money to go back to the moon. And they also said, going to Mars with a manned mission is just too risky. And so that committee, if their report becomes the law for NASA, if it becomes how it has to be, then NASA may be out of the manned space program. Imagine that. I don't think that's smart. I think what's smart is for Congress to double NASA's budget. And, you know, you might say, well, yeah, but they've got all these, you know, trillions are doing here and trillions are doing... Well, they need to stop that nonsense. I mean, it's like... when I was in police academy... They said, you know, in the movies you see people shooting and they take their gun and it's like they're throwing bullets. They do this, like they're throwing bullets out there, okay? And that's not how you shoot. You have to get rock steady and squeeze the trigger. You don't jerk the trigger and you don't throw the gun forward. Well, it's sort of like Congress right now is just doing this. at they're just throwing bullets worth trillions of dollars at problems, and you seldom hit your target when you do that. But they need to double NASA's budget. They need to clean obfuscators out of NASA, people that are covering up what has been discovered. And they need to give NASA some new marching orders that tell them, number one, let's get on with this, let's get it done. Number two, you tell the people what you find. Stop hiding what you find. That needs to happen. But they've got a very real problem right now, and the very real problem they have is they don't have, according to this committee, the money to do what NASA was told to do. So you get to be the NASA mission planner. You get to plan this next mission. You've got one shot at finding life out there. Where do you go? How do you find it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Stefan again from Quebec City.
Yeah.
Kevin, was there any mention of the rings of Saturn, perchance?
Nobody's mentioned that yet. Is that where you would go look for life?
No, not really. Now that you mentioned it, if you can't even go to the moon.
No, our scenario here tonight is you've got enough money to go do one big mission out there to look for life. That's it. You're going to get one shot at it. One big mission. Where would you go?
Well, I'd have to stick with Mars. Mars or the moon.
All righty then.
Sorry. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll free, 888-223-4599. Either one of those numbers will transport you magically right into this studio. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. And you do that by going to my website and scroll down where it says flash message. You'll see the link. Just click that and you can send me a flash message. Now, it's called a flash message because when it comes in, a little signal starts flying. You see me looking over to my right, your left, every once in a while. And I'm checking to see if there's the little flashing signal. When it comes in, I get a little flashing signal on my monitor over to the right that tells me that I've got a flash message. So that's why I'm very, very inventive and creative, and so since it flashes, I called it flash message. Now, let me say this. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, and you don't mind making that long-distance call, that international long-distance call, the number will work. You can call me from anywhere in the world. We've had calls from Taiwan, Hong Kong, Australia, South Africa, Germany, the UK, where else? Chile, Peru. We've had calls from all over the world, and the number works. You can call it. It is 623-444-5889, and of course the country code for the United States is 1. All right, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, one of the places I might go first to look for intelligent life would be into space around the Earth, but having said that, I think Mars would be the next place.
Well, let's talk about the space around the Earth. What are you referring to?
Well, I'm talking about the people or those life forms on the Earth that's supposed to be intelligent, and sometimes by the way they act and do things, you wonder if they really are.
Okay. Well, we're looking for life, any kind of life, intelligent or otherwise, but it has to be off-planet. where would you go?
Sure. Are you still there?
Yeah. Where would you go? We're looking for life off planet. Where would you go?
I would say that Mars or one of Mars's moons would be one of the places I would want to look first.
All right. How would you look for life on Mars?
Well, ultimately, it's going to come back to a manned mission, because no matter how many machines you send, like our rovers, for instance, something or somebody apparently is brushing the dust off the solar panels by the time we think they're dead, and they just keep going. So it's like, as long as you stay out of the way of the cameras, you can take care of the little creatures, and nobody will ever know you're there.
Well, now, that, you know, that brings up a possibility. The possibility exists that they haven't stayed out of the range of the cameras, and that perhaps there are pictures of the things that are the creatures that are brushing off the solar panels. Maybe there are pictures of them. We just don't get to see them.
Oh, that, now that's a definite possibility. You know, if we had honesty in dealing with this subject, then we wouldn't have to be asking these questions. The answers would be self-evident.
All right, so you would go to Mars, and you think it ought to be a manned mission.
I definitely do.
Do you think that if we had the money to build the rockets to get there, do you think we have the technology to actually pull off a manned mission to Mars? Could we do that right now?
Well, I personally think we do. You and I have discussed some of the things that we think is going on out around this planet by Space Command, but for all we know, we may already have people on Mars actually living there. But yes, I think the technology is readily available.
All right. Here's one of the things. One of the biggest things, if you do a manned mission, one of the biggest things you got to do is transport water. And water is very heavy, and when you put it under G-forces at launch, it becomes even heavier. So how are we going to get enough water from here to Mars to last the crew for the entire journey?
Well, we're assuming that there is no water on Mars to start with. And based on some of the pictures that you've shown and I've looked up myself, I think there probably is water on Mars. And I'm wondering if perhaps maybe we have built some of these so-called artificial lakes that we see there.
You know, there is there are quite a number of NASA photos that show what appears to be running water. One of them they have admitted to. In 1992, they took a picture of a crater, the cliff wall coming down into the crater. And then I think just last year, they took another picture, and they can see evidence that there has been running liquid coming down that wall between the time those two pictures were taken. There's also a photograph they have that shows what appears to be a number of geysers blowing off steam from the surface of Mars. And so, you know, I think there is water, and I think there's probably quite a bit of water at Mars.
And there's also a photograph there, as you well know, that kind of looks like from a distance, like a printed circuit board. But if it were blown up, it would probably look more like a city.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could be wrong, but I think you're talking about Titania City.
Yes.
And yeah.
We know about what looks like that mining process also.
Yeah. Okay, so you would go to Mars and you would do a manned mission, and you think we have the technology right now to go do that?
Yes, and I think that I would take about half a dozen Kevite knights to go there, and we would police that place and bring back the information.
Well, I guarantee you, if Kevi Knights go, the world will know what is found. Kevinites will tell the truth.
Guarantee it, Kevin.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. You take care.
All right. Kevinites. If you're not one of the Kevinites, you need to join. And you did, just send me an email. I'll send you the information on how to join the Kevinites. It doesn't cost you any money, and we don't ask you to do anything that feels extraordinary, but we get extraordinary results from what you do as a Kevinite. In fact, you'll never even, once you get the instructions and you do the things that we ask you to do, which are very, very simple, it will automatically promote the Kevin Smith Show, and you won't even feel it or know it as you do it. It just happens. Okay? So be a Kevinite. All right. Tonight, you get to be the NASA mission planner. Now, keep in mind that there's no question NASA's got somebody listening to the show tonight. We usually have several NASA computers logged in. I haven't verified that tonight, but normally we have a number of NASA computers logged into the show. So you get to tell NASA tonight what you think should be the next mission to go look for life if they could only do one mission. What would it be? We'll take your calls when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking tonight about this thing with NASA not having enough in their budget. That's very real. But we're doing something that, you know, it's not real. NASA's not going to take what we say and do the mission we outline. However, they're listening. I'm sure of it. So why don't we do this? Think about where you, if you could plan the mission, the next mission to go look for life. They've already been told they don't have enough money to do this manned mission back to the moon. They've been told by this presidential committee that going to Mars is just too risky for a manned mission. So we're pretending that you get to be the mission planner. You get to say where they will go for the next mission, and they get one shot at finding life out there. One mission. Where do you think they should go? And how should they look for life? Now, the caller we had from San Antonio said, you know what? They really ought to go to Europa because there is water. There is oxygen in that water. And we know how to test for life that looks like us. Now, he's not talking about humanoid life, but chemically looks like us. Life that depends on water and oxygen, we know how to test for that. So our best shot would be to go to Europa. Of course, when you get to Europa, one of the big things that you've got to be able to do is you got to get through that ice and down to the water. Now, back in 2000, I did a show from Kosovo. That's where this show was born. It was born in Kosovo. And from my apartment in Pristina, Kosovo, I did a show where I presented to you information from from the minutes and workbooks of a workshop that was held 2 years earlier. Now, it was held at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. That means it was in 1998. So in 2000, I did the show. And in there, they called upon all of these people attending the workshop, and these were scientists from industry and scientists from NASA. And they called upon them and they said, okay, we're going to do a water drilling mission on Mars. That's the project for this workshop. How would you do it? And in their notes that were posted on the internet at the time, you can't find this on the internet anymore, I think. I've looked for it. I can't find it. But I downloaded them, I printed them, and I used them for the show. And they said they would use the proven successful Russian lunar drilling technology. Who knew that the Russians were drilling on the moon? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Bill from Elgin, Illinois.
Hi, Bill. Speak right into your phone. We're barely hearing you.
Oh, okay. Here, see if this is any better.
Much better. Okay, much Kevin. Better.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking if they're going to have to do it relatively cheaply, I would love to see a mission go up with good optics and do Mars. If we can read a postage stamp here on the Earth, I'd like to see a mission go to Mars and stay low enough that we don't have to computer enhance anything or you know, have any tricks of light or any of that. And if we could go and do a big, at least a large portion of the surface of Mars with very good optics, I think all of our questions would be answered good.
And those optics do exist. Bill, let me ask you a question. Do you know what 8-point type is?
No, I certainly don't.
Okay, whenever you build a web page or if you do typesetting, you have to decide what size type to use. And on web pages that have that little tiny print that you can barely read, that's 8-point. That's the size, 8-point. From space, they have the capability to read 8-point type on Earth. So the optics do exist. There's no reason why we should have fuzzy, pixelated pictures of Mars. So I agree with you.
We have to find it hard to trust them. I would like to see the pictures, you know, good optics, and let us, you know, feed it back to us. Let us look at the raw video coming our way since we're footing the bill for this whole thing. And if they found even the slightest hint of it, they would have all the money that they could ever want. It would just come flooding into them, I'm willing to bet, don't you think?
I think so. Part of the reason that they're not getting more money now is everyone is ho-hum bored with going up to the space station. Now, there's good science being done up there.
All the money we spent on it, what benefit we're really gaining from that? I mean, I'm sure there's some, there's scientific experiments and all that. That's all well and good, but the key thing that we're all looking for is this subject we're talking about tonight. At least that's my feeling.
I think you're right. And
anyway,
the thing is, the optics exist.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. The optics exist. They actually exist. Listen to this, folks.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Do you know what that was? What that was the chief scientist in 1976 with the Viking lander. Did you hear what he said? We have found 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. On Mars. Well, if I had to vote where we ought to go look, I would say my number one vote would be Mars, because we've already got so much groundwork laid. We already know so much, and I think they know a great deal more than they have let on, a great deal more than they've told us. So if we're going to go look for life, and we've got one shot at it, I'd go there. sort of building on the groundwork that's already been laid, the many, many, many missions that have already been flown to Mars, and the mountains of data that they already have about Mars, both NASA, and then they have access to the data of other nations like Russia and the European Space Agency that have flown to Mars. And so I think that would be the place to go. My second choice, I think, would be Europa. And I agree with our caller. I think he said his name was Aaron from San Antonio. You know, it's got water and it's got oxygen, and that's the easy stuff to go look for. We know how to look for life that uses oxygen and water. So that would be my second choice. I'd go to Mars first because we've already spent billions and know much. So I would build on that. It's been fun. It's been interesting. Your comments have, as always, been enlightening. And I want to thank everyone who's called in this evening and everyone who sent a flash message, because you are the Kevin Smith Show. Don't forget that we have this Halloween party coming up. And, you know, if you don't have your ticket yet, be sure you get your ticket. The tickets cost $5. That goes to help the show. And as you can see from our survival meter, we need the help. Okay? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.